there are these stages. You want to go from perseverance, just grinding it out, to actually giving yourself that breathing room of profitability and say, do I want to be very profitable where I am and stay smaller and just keep pumping out the profit percentages, like going from 10 to 15 to 20%? Like, do I want to be more profitable? Or do I want to reinvest some of these percentage points back into the business and scale it up in a healthy manner?
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
David Richter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, the pleasure's mine. Can you quickly tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are so they have an understanding of who it is they're listening to?
Sure. So I've got about a decade of real estate investing under my belt, done about 851 deals up to this point, and built and scaled a company to about 25, 30 deals a month that we were doing outside of Chicago. So have done all types of real estate investing deals. And now I actually saw a huge need though on the financial side of the real estate investing world and created a fractional CFO company to help real estate investors and entrepreneurs with their finances and just get control over something that I don't think we get taught a lot in school or anywhere. So I'm also the author of Profit First for Real Estate Investing. So there's a quick bio on who I am.
Man, that's fantastic. I'm looking forward to hearing about your journey there. Can you quickly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now and how you got there?
Yeah. So I started by reading the book Rich Dad Poor Dad in college. So that's where I started most. I know it's cliche, but cliche for a reason, because so many people get started there. And a good friend handed that book to me, bought a house right away. This was 2012. So I bought that house, flipped it, fixed it up, actually rented it for a little bit and cash flowed, then moved into it. Then I lease optioned it 2 years later and had super tenant and paid early. And then he bought me out. I exercised his option 6 months later and I got some tax-free capital gains because I had lived there before. And that was a nice feeling. So I was like, I should do this more often. So that's when I started hooking up with an investor in the area that was doing about 5 to 7 deals a month. Worked for him for free for about 8 months, just like nights, weekends. Like, how can I do this? What's the systems? What are you doing? And how can I help you as well too? And so then about from there, came on board about 8 months later, full time. And then from there, we grew it. We grew it from 5 to 7 deals to about 25 or 30 deals. I got to sit in every single seat, acquisitions, dispositions, project management, property management. Like, we had everything inside of that company. And I was kind of that utility man, go in there, get this process started, move to something else. So that's where I saw a lot of the inner workings of a real estate investing company. And that's where I got the love of real estate, started building my own portfolio there. And that's where I really, really enjoyed the real estate investing game. And then got to see it on kind of a bigger level. We were at our highest point, we were doing over 300 deals a year between turnkey, fix and flip, lease options, rentals, had some commercial buildings too, and smaller ones. So we were doing a lot of different things, but it was a great learning experience. One of the last seats I sat in was the finance seat, which if you can view this podcast, you probably totally understand. I had braces too at one time. So, I mean, I was a complete package of what you just think of like a typical finance person. I like the numbers. I like those things. I like going after the deals too. But then sitting in the finance seat made me realize that from marketing all the way to sales or to renting the property, just how the money flowed. I had never gone to school for this. I had never taken a course. I had read all these Rich Dad, Poor Dads, all these different types of books on real estate investing. But once I actually sat in that seat, it made it very clear how revealing the numbers were for the business and how it told the business's story. And that's where I kind of got the love for the numbers. I also had that point too, had built up a portfolio enough, sold a bunch of properties that I had, moved across the country to where I wanted to live with my wife and my family and closer to family. And then I started working with another investor there. First thing I did was help him with his finances because that was kind of like the light bulb moment of like, I know this can help him. And so started getting his numbers in order, his books in order, transactions, like there was nothing in place, helped him get to where he needs to be. And then he was able to take that knowledge and use it for himself, leverage it and say, okay, I can make decisions from my numbers. He was able to refinance, put several hundred thousand in his pocket for some of the deals that he had done. He was like, this has been life-changing. And so that's where I got the burden and the mission to help real estate investors with the financial side. And so that was kind of my progression from where I was, where I am now, where I'm going, because now I was in real estate full time. Then I sold everything. Now I'm helping real estate investors full time on the financial side of things. And that's where I got introduced to Profit First and this whole system of managing cash as a real estate investor, giving you control. And that's where I linked up with Mike Michalowicz, the original author of Profit First, last year and said, hey, there has to be a book for the real estate investing world around this concept. And that's where I was able to secure the rights to the book and publishing it this year. So that's kind of been my journey in real estate investing and now helping real estate investors with the financial part of their business.
Yeah, man, that's fantastic. Your kind of process there and how it is iterative. So just to be clear, you're not doing anything on the active investor real estate side anymore.
No, not at this present time. That's where I'm now looking because I recently moved down to Florida and I'm like, I think I would want to buy down here a lot more than where I was in the past. So now this is kind of where I'm in home base and going to be looking probably 2022, I'll start buying again here. But I've been, yeah, putting my head down, trying to get this book out the door, trying to get this mission of not having to live deal to deal, live in the rat race.
And that's something I think people forget. At some point, there becomes a trade-off, right? Where you're like, okay, I can invest in real estate, but I've also got an active business going here. And if your active business is holding more promise and is making money now, it's like, I can only focus on so much. So it's the inch wide, a mile deep kind of mindset. And I've talked to several people in that position where you go, gosh, it's tough because you see the value in real estate, but you also see the value in the services that you're providing to real estate investors. Talk to us about that. Like, give us four or five things that you see practically everybody that comes through your door that is doing wrong that they could be doing better.
Sure. One thing that we see is a lot of investors have one big bank account where all their money goes in, money goes out, and it doesn't give them any clarity. They just think, okay, I have $100,000 in there today. I can spend $100,000 on this next marketing campaign or on this next whatever it is, but without even knowing, is there profit in there? Am I not going to be able to pay myself? Like, is there tax money in there? Like, is this other people's money inside of this big bucket? So just unintentionally creating a Ponzi scheme sometimes in the real estate investing world, which like just taking the money that's in there today, and that might be for projects or whatever, or what, and then using it for like the things for today, but those were monies that should have been for something else. So that's one of the biggest things that we see. And that's what creates a lot of stress around the owner. And just from not knowing, they don't have control over their finances or their business when they're running like that. And that's just one thing we see. Another thing that I see too a lot is because of that, and because of the one bank account, and because we haven't really been taught anything on the financial side, a lot of people avoid the financial side of their business. They're like, you know what? I'm the deal maker. I'll go find the deals. I'll go do the deals. But this finance stuff, I can delegate that and abdicate that to a CFO, a CPA, a bookkeeper, whatever. And then they don't look at their numbers at all. They don't know what's going on in their business. They don't know if they're making money. They don't know if they're losing money. They just know that I keep running out of money. What the heck is going on? And so until it becomes a great enough pain, a lot of people just don't look at that financial side of their business to see like what is really going on. That to me is just what puts a lot of people over the edge too, of like, okay, I have no idea what's going on. Don't know if I can take some money out here. I think I can spend this and spend the money that's in the account. But that's another thing, just avoiding it. But when we haven't even been taught, no one's teaching just financial management simply to the business owner world. Unless you're an accountant or a CPA or something, like, you didn't get this training. You know, so it's like, no one gets this on this side of the investing world. So that's where it's like, here's a simple system to help you and just manage that cash. But then, yeah, those are two of the biggest things. Then another thing would be like that I see a lot is investors stealing from themselves. Like if you have a couple different entities, a rental entity or flipping an active entity and like just robbing Peter to pay Paul. I see that all the time between entities or from yourself too. Like, let's just say you've got several different bank accounts, but like you're taking from one to fund the other. And it's like, hey, do we have to make sure you are profitable and that you actually have money for what you need and not just like something else came up. And so I got to go take this out. It's like, no, we got to have some system to do this, or you're always going to be living on that edge, feeling like, okay, deal to deal here. I don't know what's going on with the money. So that's just something that I see a lot. Those three things over and over again is just things that come up with a lot of business owners that we see. And that doesn't just create like a strain in their business, but it creates a lot of just stress and headache and heartache in their personal lives too. Because their wife or their spouse or their business partner is like asking, what's going on with the money? Do we have money for this? And it's like, I have no idea what's going on. And I get these reports, but I have no idea what they're telling me or if they're right. And I see this money in the bank account, so I think we're okay. And that's where it's just like, there's a system, there's a process to get you in a better frame of mind there.
What do you say? I mean, a lot of these can be problems you could experience at any level of entrepreneurship. So at what point in time does it make sense to bring somebody else, a third party on board to help kind of square some of those things up?
If you're just starting out, one of the first hires to take off your plate would be a bookkeeper, just a base level bookkeeper that can at least handle transactions. And that doesn't even have to be super expensive, because I'm not talking about, oh, you need a high level CPA that's on your staff, or you need a CFO yet, or even a fractional CFO like we provide. If you're just starting out, unless you were trained and that is your highest and best use, which it usually isn't, then you need a bookkeeper to take that off your plate as soon as you can. Maybe even from your first deal. Because if you're making $10, $15, $20, $50,000 on a deal, use $500 of that to get the books done for the year or whatever to make sure you're getting that. So I would say bookkeeper, when you're first starting out, just to take that off your plate, doing the higher level things like going out and getting the deals or making the connections, finding those people. But then from there, I would say the next level, like once you do deals on a consistent basis, like whether that be rentals or whether you've got a bunch of doors that you have under management or if you're actively investing, then once you're doing deals consistently, that's when to look for maybe potential fractional CFO, which is like a part-time CFO, to do high-level financial business strategy with you. What do the numbers mean? What do the numbers say? Now you have to have someone hold accountable, like the bookkeeper and those other people, the financial team. So it's like getting someone there that actually can help you from the financial aspect, because it's probably really easy to take some of these other things off your plate, like the operational duties, if you're doing them, like if you find the right person. But that financial portion is usually something that entrepreneurs don't get the training on or don't go to a mastermind and learn about. We learn systems, operations, marketing, but that would be like, okay, if I'm doing deals consistently, I might need a part-time CFO just to know what's going on with my money in the past. Where am I today? What can we do for the future without just completely blowing up? Because if you're wanting to scale, you don't want to scale yourself right out of business. So it's like getting yourself to that level of like when you're doing deals consistently or built up a portfolio, maybe of like 10, 20 properties, thinking about bringing someone higher level on just to help guide and manage that process.
Yeah, that's absolutely makes sense. I mean, I think most of us understand what a bookkeeper does, right? That's pretty self-explanatory, but tell us what a CFO at that middle, you got 20 properties, you're growing. Like, what does a fractional CFO do for you? I know besides just kind of look at your numbers and saying, okay, this is where your money's going, or walk us through that.
Sure. Because most people do know bookkeeper, CPA or whatnot. CFO is probably the one that most people don't know, or they've heard like with corporate executives. So I always compare it to a hospital. So you've got the bookkeeper who does the transactions. They do the day-to-day. They're the nurse. They come and check in on you every day, make sure things are good, make sure your chart's up to date, like everything there is going well. The CPA is more like the specialist. Like, here, do my taxes, save me money on taxes, do the tax planning, do the tax preparation. Here, this is the one area that I'm really good at. Let me get that done. The CFO is kind of more like the doctor to say, let me look at the chart. Let me interpret it for you. Let me make sure you're not only good with what is going on now, but like, let me tell you the general business or the general health of your business, the general health plan. Like, let's make sure you're healthy now. If you're wanting to get better and you're wanting to grow, here's how you grow. Here's like the steps that you can take and really making sure that you have it not only a handle on your numbers where they've been, but like, let's make these decisions together. If you're wanting to hire a new person, what is the return going to be? How are we tracking? What are we tracking on a weekly basis together? What KPIs, like key performance indicators, to make sure that you're on track and healthy financially and making those decisions together. So they're kind of like the doctor, making sure everything is on point. They might need to recommend you to a specialist like a CPA and make sure they're working in tandem with them, or to a nurse, make sure you have the best nurse in place, holding them accountable to make sure that your overall health is good inside of your business.
Man, that's great. Thanks for breaking that down for us. Talk to us about your business. I mean, you had this great idea. You saw a need in the market. How did you grow your company and really scale your idea?
Yeah, that's where I had to very quickly, because this system to help entrepreneurs with their finances is so simple. that it was like a lot of people wanted to work on this side of things, because this wasn't your typical bookkeeper or CPA or whatnot. This was like talking to them plainly about their finances. So very quickly, I was like, I can't help as many entrepreneurs as I want to if it's just going to be me. So very early on in my career, I said, I need to have smart people around me. I need to bring on CFOs, like more CFOs on our team. And so I did. I started looking in some of the groups that I was a part of, some CFO type groups, groups on LinkedIn, and then also the Profit First Professional Network that I'm a part of with Mike Michalowicz was like another place like, okay, I need to partner with some good people here to be able to provide more to other people, because we were like, we get requests all the time, just 7 people yesterday coming through the door. It's like, I can't do this all on my own. So right now we have 12 CFOs on the team. We put together a certification process for our business to where we certify these CFOs. They have to have a background in finance, especially it's bonus points with coaching or financial business training like that. And then we take them through our certification to show them, teach the system, how to implement it, how to get the owner more bottom line profit. So we put them through the ringer for a certification process. Then they come out on the other side, helping to like with our investors and with the people that we work with to increase that bottom line profit. And then, like I said, once we had that certification process in place, that was really the game changer for us. Cause now we've got, like I said, 12 that are active and with clients and helping them. And then we've got about 15 going through our certification. So it's just a process to be able to see who's a good fit for us, who fits in with our core values, our vision, and making sure they get the proper training, and then having them on our team and helping those investors. So it's definitely been a journey, because we're about a tenth of where we want to be now too. Like, we're scaling up for sure and want to be at 100 CFOs and working with about 400 clients and different individuals, because it's just, we see how much of a need this is in the real estate investing space. And that's kind of where our target trajectories are.
Yeah, man, that's a brilliant model. I love it. What was the conversation like selling the first CFO on the model?
I'm pretty passionate about what I'm doing, and I have a pretty clear vision of where I want to go and how this helps entrepreneurs and how I've helped entrepreneurs in the past too. So that first conversation with the CFO was pretty easy. I said, here's what I've done. Like, I have like 10 people that I'm working with currently, and all 10 are getting more money, bottom line cash in their accounts. They're taking vacations. They're like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. They're getting control over their business finances. Like, do you want to be a part of this? And here's what I can offer. Like, you don't even have to take on 10 like I have. Like, just take on a few up front. What I'm looking to do is be able to take on more than 10. So like, let's just see how this goes with you. And then that was that first conversation with them was pretty easy, because I was just like, this is how it's helping people. This is what we're doing. Do you want to be a part of this? And do you want clients that you can be a part of their journey as they grow and scale and become more profitable?
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I love kind of your thinking, seeing the hole in the market and going, I can serve this need. And also, I mean, you're doing something that adds value to the bottom line. You're not selling a widget that somebody throws away in 12 months. You're doing something that has a meaningful impact in people's health and mental health and just really all around life in the long term.
Money is personal. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's your business finances or your personal finances. And being a part of that journey has been very eye-opening, how it affects people.
I'm sure, man. I'm sure. This is awesome. Thanks for breaking this down for us, just kind of about your business. This is tons of fun to see. Let's jump here into the final few questions. The first one is this: if you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would they avoid it?
One mistake in real estate investing. Probably there's 5 stages of business that I've learned from my good friend, Eddie Wilson. He's the owner of the American Association of Private Lenders and has an operating system that's incredible. But he talks about there's 5 different levels of business. There's first startup, then persevering, viability or profitability, then scaling, and then succession. And probably the biggest thing I see with one of the biggest mistakes is that most people go from perseverance, where startup is like when you just first start up, just you grinding it out. Perseverance is when you start adding people and you're just trying to get your bottom line to match your top line. You know, like you're trying to get it to where as you grow and scale, you're at least trying to break even. Viability is more when you've got actual profit, like for a sustained amount of time, and you are in a healthy position, like at least 6 months, 2 quarters, where you've got a healthy at least 10% profit margin or profitability. So that's where I see a lot of people trying to go from perseverance to scaling, where they say, I've got two people on my team. Now I want to take it to 20. I'm doing 5 deals a month. I want to be doing 50. And so let me just pour everything into the business right now that's coming in, and we'll get to that level and I'll never have to worry about money again. And it's just like, well, no, there are these stages. You want to go from perseverance, just grinding it out, to actually giving yourself that breathing room of profitability and say, do I want to be very profitable where I am and stay smaller and just keep pumping out the profit percentages, like going from 10 to 15 to 20%? Like, do I want to be more profitable, or do I want to reinvest some of these percentage points back into the business and scale it up in a healthy manner? I think just having that mentality of like, okay, there's certain stages here and this is where I am. And if I try and scale at perseverance, then I might be putting fuel in a plane that's going down. But if I'm doing it from that viability or that profitability stage, then it's like, well, I can grow and scale as much as I want where I have this profitability. Otherwise, I'm just going to go belly up. So I think that's one of the biggest things I would say is if you're in real estate, you'll go to a lot of masterminds, you'll hear a lot of people, what other people are doing, but that isn't necessarily what's best for you. Because it's not just about the deals, it's about your lifestyle. Like, do you want to spend more time with your family? Do you want to go out there and change the world with missions or like whatever it might be for you personally? And you have to take that into account when you're not taking that into account when someone's up on a stage saying, I'm doing 100 deals a month, or I just bought my next 1,000 unit apartment building. It's like, no, where are you right now? What's good for you? And do you want to go to that next level? But that's where we've seen once people have that profitability, it gives them the option. Do I go bigger or do I go better and just get into a deeper profit? And that's what we want. So I would just say a big mistake. Don't go from that perseverance stage to that scaling stage without having some measure of profitability for at least a few quarters in a row, knowing where you are.
Right. I love that. David, if the listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what's the best way to do that? And then follow up to that is also, when does your book come out and how do they get copies of it?
Yeah. So simplecfosolutions.com. If you want to work with us or want to see what we do and how we match a CFO to put on your team there. And then, so that's simplecfosolutions.com. Then my book, Profit First for Real Estate Investing, is officially out December 7th, 2021. So that is coming out here. And so no matter when you're listening to this, you can go to simplecfobook.com. which takes you to different links there to either to Amazon to buy it individually, or there's bulk order links there. Like even if you're just picking up a couple copies for you and your real estate investing group or whatever, then there's a discount that I can give there through the bulk ordering. So simplecfobook.com for the Profit First for Real Estate Investing book.
Awesome. David, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Awesome. Sam, thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.